A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 3. Charcadieu. Din stayed in the dusty, forgotten room for hours, tense as a Terrazod waiting to get snatched up from beneath the sands. No one came to bash the door down, though. No one even came down the hall. Din kept his auditory sensors turned up to their highest setting, straining to hear a threat before it could jump down his throat. But no one came. After a tense hour or two, Din decided that Fett wasn't going to bother, wasn't sending his guards to throw Din out for interfering with Fett's business, and Din forced himself to relax. He'd been on the hunt for a very long day, and had been sleeping poorly for weeks before that. His body was exhausted. He hadn't had a full night's sleep since before Tython, unless Din counted being unconscious with a head injury in a tank full of Bacta. Fett is going to do what he's going to in the morning, Din thought to himself. He eyed the locked door. A lock probably meant nothing to the king of the palace. Even if he didn't have the code to open it, Fett was solid enough to knock the door down. But it made Din feel a little more protected, so he left the lock engaged. His wrist hurt. The food he'd forced down before stumbling across Fett sat heavy in his belly. The adrenaline that had crashed through him had burned out and left Din shaky and nervous in its wake. Injury first, Din told himself. If he kept himself busy, he could stave off any further tension. Leaving a bruise or two to sit for a few days was one thing, but Din knew better than to leave a more serious injury unchecked. The quickest way to get an infection was to leave a wound untended underneath hot Beskar. Tatooine was dry enough that most wounds wouldn't fester, but anything could happen. Din sighed and groped around his utility belt. He'd gotten into the habit of carrying around a few Bacta patches since he'd first picked up the kid. Despite the fact that Grogu had been about a foot tall and barely able to walk, he'd been able to get himself into a tremendous amount of trouble. Din had always been patching him up, treating scraped knees and banged chins. The patches in his belt were old and faded. Din had swiped them from a target's nest back on Cato Nemoidia months ago, when he and the kid had been drifting from place to place, trying to stay ahead of the guild and the Empire. But they still worked, as far as Din knew. He fished a patch out and opened it, wincing at the astringent smell. Din eased his glove and gauntlet off his wrist, folding back the edge of his kute, and assessed the damage. The injury wasn't as bad as Din had feared. His wrist was swollen and red, a deep bruise forming, but it wasn't the deep, immediate color of a broken bone. At worst, his wrist was probably sprained, made even more tender by the pins and plates now screwed in underneath Din's skin. Din flexed all of his fingers again to test their range of motion. Pain flared, red and hot, behind his eyes, but he could do it. Nothing to be done for it, I guess, Din thought wryly, slapping a patch over the worst of the swelling and pulling his kute back down. Despite its dubious age, the Bacta patch started to work almost immediately, a cool sensation breaking out along the back of Din's hand. He flexed his fingers a few more times to move the sensation around and sighed. He ended up lifting his helmet enough to stick another patch underneath it at the back of his neck, in a probably futile effort to stave off the worst of a headache that was building there, spurred by exhaustion and nerves. The familiar post-job rituals of tending to his injuries settled Din some. He'd done this 1,000 times over the years. His body knew that if Din had time to care for it, the immediate danger had passed. I want a Sonic, in thought, looking around. He was dusty, sand worked into the gaps in his armor and the stitches of his kute, and clammy at the same time. His hair was matted with sweat. A quick inspection showed that the room Din had chosen had its own fresher, but not a sonic unit. Din took off his helmet long enough to splash water on his face and scrub sand off his neck, but it wasn't the same. Din hesitated. He wanted to get clean, needed to get clean, to check himself over for any injuries he'd missed, to tend to his armor. The rituals after a hunt had been the same for as long as Din had been hunting. But he didn't want to leave the safety, even imagined, of this room. The urge to stay won out. There was a bed, old and dusty, so Din resigned himself to spending the rest of the night catching field naps, jerking awake at the slightest sound. It turned out that he didn't even have to worry about that. No matter how he tossed and turned, Din couldn't force himself to fall asleep. The Bacta helped soothe his aches and pains, but his mind kept turning over and over in circles, like a missive chasing fruitlessly on the stump of its tail. He couldn't stop thinking about what he'd seen. About Fett's face, the intensity of his dark eyes. The other man, the sounds he'd made. Din's thoughts grew so circular that after another hour or two of going around and around in his own head, Din got so restless he had to jump up to his feet. Before he could lose his nerve, he disengaged the door lock, slid the door open, and crossed the hall again, tugging his helmet back on over his untidy hair. He was not a coward. If Fett had a problem with what Din had seen, Din could figure out how to deal with it. He could meet it head-on, like a Mandalorian, and work it out with Fett. Could offer to take a pay cut on Jalta, maybe. Beskar was valuable enough. If Din gave up a portion of his fee, it might be enough to convince Fett that Din didn't mean to go snooping. That Fett's secrets were safe with Din. The palace was well and truly quiet now. In a way, it had never been under Jabba. Under Jabba, the palace had seethed with noise and life even through the dead of night, even on the nights when the moons were dark and the rest of Tatooine was still and quiet. Everyone, from palace guards to slaves to musicians to visiting sycophants, had worked around the rotation to keep Jabba entertained. All of that effort, that noise and color and energy, was gone now. Everyone really had left when Jabba had died. Fortuna must have been a carking idiot. Half of Jabba's empire had been in protection money and hyperlane tolls. Maintaining that sort of income shouldn't be hard. But the palace was so desolate that Fortuna must have run the whole enterprise right into the sands. Din took advantage of the palace's stillness and poked around a little, though he was careful not to open any other doors. He had no intention of surprising Fett twice in a night. Din had made his way down into one of the lower levels, sticking his head into dusty storage rooms and forgotten service bays and anything else that had an open door, when he found the training room. The room was low-ceilinged but wide, easily a few hundred feet across, and divided into several raised rings. A rack of dusty melee weapons, clubs and spears, and even a Gaderfi or two, leaned against one wall, and the opposite had rough tiered seating. It wasn't a formal fighting pit, not like some of the setups Din had seen on places like Canto Bight and Nar Shadda, where bidding on blood matches was common, but judging by a few of the discolorations on the floor, this room had seen its fair share of bloodshed. Din climbed up into one of the rings and looked around. A Tusken made this. Round rings were common among the tribes. Very few Tuscans bothered to stay in one place long enough to build something permanent, so when it was time to train or spar or thin out the number of warriors clamoring for a spot on a raiding party, the chieftain would draw a circle in the sands, and his warriors would fight until all but one of the warriors was disarmed or all but one of the warriors had been forced out of the circle. There were sacred places in the Jundland Wastes where more permanent rings had been carved out of red rock, but Din had never seen one. He imagined that they looked something like this. Plain but functional, easy to clean off once the match had been won.
"I thought I might find you down here,"
said Fett, from behind Din, his voice echoing in its vocoder. Din spun around, reaching for his blaster. He was surprised. Not many beings could manage to sneak up on Din. Fett held up his hands, which were empty.
"Relax," he said. "You're safe here."
Din eyed him. "Fett," he began, searching Fett for weapons. He was armed, a blaster at his hip, Gaderfi across his back, knives in his boots, but that was standard. None of his weapons were bared, which Din took as a tentative positive sign. Maybe Fett just wanted to warn Din to be silent. Fett watched him for a moment, then shook his head.
"You're back early," he observed. "Wasn't expecting you for another cycle, maybe two. Fennec said you brought Jalto in all right?"
Din shrugged. "He didn't fight too hard," he said, still wary. Fett made a noncommittal noise and climbed up into the ring with Din, looking around. His eyes fell on Din's hip where his own blaster rested, and then Fett's eyes found the hilt of the darksaber where it was half hidden among the folds of Din's cloak. His expression shifted. Fett looked at the darksaber like Kreese had looked at it whenever she'd caught sight of it on Din's hip. Like it meant something to him that Din couldn't possibly understand. Din resisted the urge to tug the folds of his cloak back over the hilt of the blade.
"Still carrying that thing, huh?"
"Yeah," Din said. He tried not to tense. He hated being reminded that he carried it. He wasn't sure why Fett was skirting around the issue, but he didn't want to push and force a confrontation if Fett wasn't interested in pursuing one. Every warlord and crime boss operated differently.
"You ever train in Parkad?" Fett asked.
"No," Din said, reaching back through his memory for the words his first teachers had used to describe the various forms taught to the foundlings in the Fighting Corps. "By the time I was old enough to touch a weapon, there wasn't enough Beskar to go around for swords. We were all taught knives instead, and I learned Parbevi later." Fett nodded, cutting his gaze towards Din's spear.
"Not much different from Usulgad, yeah?"
Din thought for a moment.
"There's less bludgeoning involved, usually," he said, a touch dry. Fett snorted.
"But not much different, no." Din had learned a little Usulgad during his time with the White Bantha, but he hadn't taken a Gaderfi with him when he'd left Tatooine to rejoin the covert, so he hadn't kept up with the style. Wielding a spear wasn't too much different, though. Din's Beskar spear was much lighter than any Gaderfi, free of the heavy club or cudgel at one end, but much of the motion was the same. Spears could cut in ways that Gaderfi couldn't, but still had a sharp end and a blunt end, still had a strong shaft for blocking. Fett hummed.
"You up for a good old-fashioned Azagad?"
"Only if you don't mind getting hit with a spear," Din said, surprised. He'd rather fight than talk. Maybe he could throw the spar and tell Fett that Din wasn't going to use anything he'd learned against him.
That made Fett laugh. "No, I don't mind," he said. "There's a good stock of Bacta down below. As long as we don't break any bones, Ushib won't scold much."
"She's your cook and your medic," Din asked, resolving to meet this Ushib sooner rather than later. She sounded like the sort of person Din ought to get to know if he was going to stick around. The cook was the heart of any covert. The thought of sticking around longer made Din's stomach twist. He told himself it was just another bout of nausea and pushed it aside. He wanted to stay,
if only to continue avoiding Kreese and her expectations and to earn more Fett's Beskar, but he also wanted to grab his jetpack and bolt into the sky.
"A fight will help settle my nerves," Din told himself.
"Full Besk?" Fett asked. Din nodded. He wasn't 20 anymore. He didn't want to get whacked with a Gaddafi out of armor. "Rules?"
"This is your ring," said Din. "Your rules."
Fett made a little pleased sound at that, like Din's deference made him happy. Din didn't know how to feel about that, so instead he unhooked his spear from his back and tugged the heavy folds of his cloak off over his head to free his movement. "Full contact, blunt ends only," Fett said, pulling his Gaddafi over his shoulder to match Din's ready stance. "No punctures, no cuts, no broken bones if we can help it. Your wrist gonna hold up?"
"Yes."
Din scowled under his helmet, irritated that Fett had noticed. He flexed his fingers and only felt a little pain. The back-to-patch, expired or not, had done its job. Spearfighting was mostly two-handed anyways, so Din's bad hand could support his good. Fett shrugged. "If you're sure," he said. "Traditional Azaghad rules, first one disarmed or pushed out of the ring loses." Din nodded. Fett paused, the direction of his helmet falling back on the darksaber. "You want to use that instead?"
"No."
The blade would cut through Fett's Gaddafi, and Din didn't know how to use it anyway, aside from the general idea. Din unclipped it, the shape of the hilt awkward and unfamiliar in his hand, and offered it to Fett. "You want to try it? It won't cut through my spear or my armor." Gideon tried. Fett looked at the darksaber. Very quiet. His silence made Din's neck prickle. Fett said, "You mind?" Din shook his head. Fett took the thing carefully, stepping forward to take it from Din and then back to give himself room to ignite the blade. The darksaber sprang to life in his hands. It hummed. Fett took a few experimental slashes. He'd clearly done some blade work before, falling into a pattern of movement Din half remembered from his earliest days in the Fighting Corps. Parkhad, sword form. Clean and efficient. The darksaber hissed as it cut through the air.
"Strange," Fett grunted. "Never used a Jetikad before. Feels different than a Beskar blade."
He deactivated the blade and offered it back to Din, who thought for a moment about telling him to just keep it, before taking it back and dropping it into the folds of his discarded cloak. Somehow, despite the way Fett had looked at the darksaber, Din got the impression that Fett wanted as little to do with the darksaber as Din himself did.
"It can cut through just about anything," Din said, rolling his shoulders to loosen them up.
Anticipation was beginning to build in his belly. He tried the darksaber out a bit back on the light cruiser once it had become apparent that he was stuck with it, at least for now. The darksaber had slashed through just about everything Din had thought to pit it against, and what it couldn't cut through right away, it could eventually melt.
"I met a Jedi in Calodan. Her lightsabers were the same, but also made differently."
Fett cocked his head.
"You met a Jedi in this era?"
Din nodded.
"Or someone who used to be a Jedi. She said she wasn't one anymore."
Ahsoka Tano's lightsabers had been less like blades and more like extensions of her hands. The darksaber was built like a traditional cad from what Din had seen and could remember of the ancient swords. A narrow hilt, an offset guard, and a thin, tapering blade. Tano's lightsabers had been cylindrical, made to fit easily in the hand, and they hadn't had any guard to speak of. The lit blades had been as white as sunlight.
"You should find her again if she's one of the friendly ones," said Fett. "She might be able to teach you how to use that thing."
"There's unfriendly Jedi?" Din supposed that his allure had said that the Jedi were Mandalore's ancient enemies, but the two Din had met had seemed reasonable enough. They, or at least Tano, had been people that Din could strike a contract with, and Kara had assured him that the Jedi who had taken the kid for training, this Luke Skywalker, was a hero of the rebellion, a good man. I don't want to know how to use it, Din said flatly. He slid into the first dance of the Parbevi, the clash of spears. Point down, both hands on the shaft, shoulders loose, chest open. He kept all of his tension held in his hips and legs, ready to move as soon as he needed to. Din breathed, and the familiarity of it settled him. Fett mirrored Din, readying himself, spinning his Gaderfi in his hand. Unlike Parbevi, Tusken fighting styles had no resting starts or stillness. The desert, after all, wasn't ever still. There was always something moving. A crate, a blade back, the wind, the sand. The Tuskens had taught themselves to fight by watching the world around them. Doesn't matter, Din thought, refusing to give in to Fett's restless energy and start pacing himself. I can be patient. Come on, Fett goaded, circling Din like a canyon crate, ready to go for the first flash of unprotected throat. Hit me, Mandalorian. Fett was leaving his left side open, a clear invitation, but Din wasn't about to take that bait. He settled deeper into his own stance and waited. Fett huffed. Din couldn't tell if it was amusement or annoyance, but he didn't have time to try and parse it out. Fett got tired of waiting for Din to strike, so he struck first, lashing out with a club end of his Gaderfi. The movement was fast but dodgeable, and the opening it left in Fett's guard was a trap. Din avoided the blow easily, and didn't take Fett's bait this time either. Fett was shorter than Din, his reach not quite as long, but he was as strong as a blade back, and Din had seen him fight. If Din got caught in the circle of Fett's arms, he wouldn't get out again. Instead of lunging for the exposed line of Fett's thigh, Din swept high with the Beskar spear. Fett's Gaderfi caught it, wood ringing against metal, and pushed Din back. Din turned Fett's energy into his own, going sideways, and he swept the blunt end of the spear down and jammed it underneath the bottom edge of Fett's cuirass as hard as he could. Din's aim was good. Fett's breath went out of him in a crackly whoosh. Ouch, Fett growled. His hand flashed, fast as a stinging Kyrick fly, and caught the blunt end of Din's spear before Din could pull it out of his reach. Din tugged experimentally. The spear didn't budge. Fett was strong. You fight like a Corellian scum rat, Fett said, once he'd gotten his breath back under control. Fett shifted his grip on his Gaderfi. Din eyed it and loosened his own grip, relaxing just enough that Fett, mirroring Din, consciously or unconsciously, did the same. Do all your Vode fight so dirty? I was smaller than most of the other kids in the Corps, Din said, still eyeing that Gaderfi. He had a decent idea of what Fett would try to do with it. The end was hooked, and if Fett got it underneath one of Din's feet, he could pull Din over. He still wasn't letting go of the spear, pulling it closer, reeling Din in like a gored snapfish. Fett was giving Din two choices. He could either hang onto the spear and get within range of the Gaderfi, which would no doubt make a tremendous sound when it met the side of Din's head, or he could let go of his spear and lose the Azagad before it had even really started. Kark that. Din put all his weight on the balls of his feet. I had to figure out how to win my spar somehow, he continued. Fett snorted. His grip on the Beskar spear tightened. Leather creaked. You win a lot of spars? Not at first, Din admitted, because it was true. His first few years in the covert had been a disaster. Din had been small and half a decade behind the other kids in forms and strength training. Din hadn't won a spar for his first two standard years. Fett tilted his head, considering something, and Din moved. Instead of trying to yank his spear out of Fett's grip and stumble backwards, which would give Fett an opening with that wicked hook, Din went forward. He punched the blunt end of his spear through Fett's grip. His aim was off, so he missed that soft, vulnerable spot just under Fett's cuirass, probably for the best, since Din didn't really want to hurt him, and glanced off Fett's armor instead. It didn't matter. A hit was a hit, and Fett was shoved back by the force of the blow, Beskar ringing. Din's spear sang in his hands, the resonance strong enough to feel even through his gloves. He grinned underneath his helmet. Fett swiped at him with his Gaderfi, but Din was already out of range. Once I figured out that I could cheat, I won a lot, Din said. Fett laughed. His vocoder made the sound rusty, but underneath that, his laughter was deep and rich. A curl of pride tickled against Din's ribs.
"You must have been a terror," Fett said. And when he said it, it sounded like a compliment.
Before Din could think of a way to respond to that, Fett moved. He dropped a shoulder and darted forward, faster than someone his size had a right to be. And when Din moved to duck the Gaderfi, Fett punched Din in the side of the head. Din's helmet spluttered, internal controls whining. His right ear rang. Din rolled with the blow, using it. Everyone always went for the helmet. And used the sharp end of a spear to clear some space between them. It worked. Fett skipped back, wary of the spear's edge, and Din shook his head like an Anuba shaking off sand.
"Ouch," Din repeated dryly. Fett chuckled. "Should have been faster."
Din snorted and flicked his spear out again, testing how fast Fett could move to avoid it. Fett sidestepped it neatly and responded with some testing of his own, swiping and dodging with a dangerous grace. Their bodies fell into a familiar rhythm. The particulars of each fighting style varied from covert to covert, but the core of Mandalorian training was the same everywhere, and Fett and Din had both been well-trained. Din used his feet more, and Fett used his own body like a battering ram, but they were both well-matched, solid in the foundations of their forms, and experienced besides. If Fett's father had been a foundling, Fett must have come up training. Most Mandalorian children started basic footwork and strikes at 4 or 5 standard. Fett certainly moved like he'd been training that long. He cut a particularly vicious strike towards Din's head that had Din breaking form to scramble away, though Din recovered quickly and retaliated by scoring another hit under the edge of Fett's cuirass.
"You're worse than a bloody masseef," Fett grunted, and he decided to turn the fight in his favor by dropping all pretense and charging forward, bringing his Gaderfi down in a brutal arc.
Din brought his leg up to stop the blow without thinking. The Gaderfi crashed into the plate covering his thigh, diffusing most of the force through his kute, but pain still shuddered up his hip and lodged itself into the base of his spine. Din swore viciously and planted his spear into the floor, using it as leverage to kick Fett as hard as he could manage. He got Fett in the side of the knee. Fett didn't have any armor there. Fett swore too and crumpled, keeping himself upright by hanging onto his Gaderfi. They stared at each other for a minute, panting. And then Fett laughed again.
"Why don't we call it a draw this time?" he said.
Din held onto the spear warily.
"Before we start fighting any dirtier. Deal?"
It went against Din's nature to stop a spar without a clear winner emerging. But Fett was right. The longer they fought, the more likely it was that one of them would seriously hurt the other, which would break the rules of the Azagat anyway.
"Deal," Din agreed reluctantly.
His leg did hurt, and he knew without having to peel his kute off and check that he'd have a bruise the size and shape of his thigh plate across his leg for days. Din tucked his spear back into its hook against his back, leaving his cloak where it lay at the edge of the ring. He scooped up the darksaber and clipped it back to his hip, then flexed his leg. A hot, dull pain throbbed through him from his hip to his knee, lodged into the muscles of his thigh. He blew out a breath.
"You hit hard," Din said, testing his weight.
The pain intensified, the throb becoming a red buzz that cut through even the faint, ever-present ringing in Din's ears. But the leg held.
"So do you," Fett said, rising up off his injured knee.
He prodded a spot beneath his cuirass.
"Thank you. Fennec won't spar with me unless she gets to shoot at me during. It's been a while since I've had someone put me through my paces."
"It's been a while for me, too," Din admitted. He and Kara had wrestled around a bit, but it wasn't the same as a formal spar. Woves had agreed to a few scuffles, too, but even that had been perfunctory, more to keep Din in some kind of fighting shape than anything. Din hadn't been able to spar with another Mandalorian like this, with blood and bruises on the line, in over a standard year, since before he'd found the kid. He'd missed it. Fett fought a bit like Paz, though he was smarter about it than Paz had ever managed to be. Fett stood up again, shaking himself off. His armor rattled.
"You need to hit the infirmary?" Din shook his head. He was sore, and would likely be even more sore in the morning, but he still had a few back-to-patches back in his room, and he'd had spars with paws that had ended worse. Fett looked in up and down, expression unreadable behind his helmet.
You sure?
I'm fine, Din said, irritation flickering in his gut. He didn't understand what Fett and Fennec's fixation on his health was. Concern for an ally was one thing, but Din was a warrior. If he said that he was fine, he was fine. Fett let the matter drop. Come on, then, he said. Best way to end a sparse with Tihar and some Tuscan curry. Din's stomach rumbled at the mention of food. He hadn't been hungry until Fett had brought it up. He'd eaten earlier, after all, forced himself through that stew, and it had soured in his stomach overnight. Curry's different, though. Curry had enough flavor that Din could probably push through his nausea. But as good as a plate of curry sounded, Din still hesitated. Fett ignored Din's spike of unease and turned to leave. Din trailed behind him, nerves rising. Fett had been honorable in the spar. He'd fought hard, but hadn't turned a spar into a deathmatch. He'd stopped it before either of them had gotten competitive enough to hurt each other. He probably wasn't going to drop Din down into a rancor pit or anything like that, even if Din had intruded on Fett's private business. Din left his cloak off, just in case, folding the fabric over in his arms so that he'd had easy access to his spear and the darksaber if he needed either. Fett led him through the palace's twisting, tunnel-like halls into an airy, earthen space. The Hutt's palace had been built in Hutt style, but it was still a Tatooinean building. Its heart was its kitchen. That rule held true for settler homes and slave quarters and Tusken camps alike. Din softened a little to see that it held true here, too. The palace kitchens were enormous, built to feed hundreds at a time. Most of the stoves and roasting pits were cold and dark. Only one Tusken-style oven, built of baked mud, and one enormous battered curry pot still glowed with heat.
Ushib's off for the night, Fett explained. She goes back to her tribe every now and then to make sure the men haven't killed each other. She always leaves something for us, though.
Why does she work for you? Din asked curiously. He'd never heard of a Tusken leaving their tribe to work for a Khufra. Most Tuskens who'd left their tribes, either voluntarily or by force, wandered alone in the desert until they died. Fett was silent for a moment, leaning over the big curry pot to see what was inside.
Her tribe took me in, he finally said. Years ago, I was injured on a job. Should have died. The Tuskens took me in and let me get strong again. Ushib, she's an old woman. Bloodmates dead, children dead. Her tribe was nearly wiped out in the Anchorhead retaliations. She took a liking to me, and when word started to spread that I'd come back here, intended to take over old Jabba's operation, she came to make sure I wouldn't starve.
Din winced. He'd been long gone by the time the people of Anchorhead and the surrounding settlements had taken to the sands to pay the Tuskens back for their attack on the town, but he knew that the Tuskens hadn't come out very well. Some tribes had been wiped off the face of the planet.
Don't tell her I told you that, Fett warned. Ushib's private.
Most Tuskens are private, Din pointed out.
Fett chuckled. Fair point, he said. Come on, sit, eat. At least drink with me, yeah?
Fett ducked behind a cabinet and came back out with a tall jar of clear liquid and two chipped earthenware cups. Fett used an arm to clear off some space on a counter, scattering to pour meal, and poured a few fingers of the clear liquid into each cup. There were two stools jammed underneath the counter, one on either side. Din, feeling a little trapped, went over to him and took one of the cups and a stool, though he didn't drink. He couldn't smell the alcohol underneath his helmet. He stared into the cup, unsure of what to do with his body or his hands. Fett released the seal on his own helmet and took it off, setting it down on the counter. He lifted his cup in Din's direction, a strange, knowing sort of look on his face, and drained his cup in a single swallow. Din eyed him. Despite the fact that the kitchen was enormous, Fett stood close enough that Din felt his presence like a barrier.
The way that they stood now, Fett was between Din and the door, unless there was another door farther back in the kitchen that Din couldn't see. Din's vision narrowed. He didn't drink. Fett watched him for a minute, then sighed. "I thought maybe food and drink would put you at ease," he said. "I wanted to do this over a meal, but we can do this up in my rooms if that'll help."
"Do what?" said Din, tone flat in alarm.
"Talk about what you walked in on," Fett said. He poured himself another small measure of tihar. Din tensed. His kute creaked with the movement.
"I'm not Jabba, you know," Fett said, still watching. "I'm not going to have you drop down in the Rancor pit just because you walked in on me enjoying some of my otter pastimes."
"Is that what it was?" Din asked, confused now.
"I didn't mean... how you punish your people isn't any of my business. I just heard through the door what sounded like someone in pain."
Fett blinked.
"Punishment?" he said.
Din shrugged, uncomfortable.
"Theron and I have an arrangement," Fett said slowly.
Theron must have been the name of the man he'd been hitting. Din's shoulders pulled even tighter.
"He knew me before, when all of this was Jabba's. We have compatible interests."
That made Din frown.
"Compatible interests?" He didn't understand.
"Negatile," Fett muttered. His expression was pained.
"Yeah, compatible interests. He likes to give someone else control over his body," Fett said. "He likes pain. He likes someone to look after him, to decide what he feels and when he feels it."
Din's body, oddly enough, started to warm.
"And you?" he said slowly, trying to understand.
"Like to take control, yeah," said Fett. He cocked his head to the side.
"Like to cause pain, too."
Din's stomach twisted, and he didn't understand why.
"Oh," he said, still confused. His eyes widened underneath his helmet.
He hadn't walked in on Fett punishing a subordinate. He'd walked in on something much more intimate.
"An exchange.
Theron gave Fett control, or Fett took control from Theron, and Theron liked it." That was why his cries of pain had been headier, heavier. He had wanted the pain, and Fett had given it to him. Din very deliberately put the cup of tihar down so he didn't crack it in his grip. Fett seemed to understand that Din had made the intuitive leap because he relaxed a fraction and said,
"It's not as bad as you're worried about, Jaren. Theron didn't notice, and he doesn't mind an audience anyway. It's just a matter of discretion, yeah?"
"I won't tell anyone," Din assured Fett, mortified. I don't share other people's secrets."
"No, you wouldn't," Fett said, and Din didn't know how to interpret his tone.
"You've got your honor, but that's not all I wanted to talk to you about." Din froze again.
"Sometimes," Fett started, "pain is good. For some, it's a focus, or a reminder, or a reason."
"Is that why you were... was it to help Theron?" Din tried to imagine how taking a whip could help Theron, and then had to stop before his thoughts got too far out of his own control. His mouth was dry, his stomach tight. Heat shimmered in Din's blood.
Fett shrugged. "That's between me and Theron," he said.
Din knew better than to push. Fett's tone was still friendly enough, but there was a thread of steel underneath his words. Harder than Beskar. He wouldn't be pushed any further.
"Not that I would push."
Din didn't know Theron. He didn't even know Fett, not really. What they did in Fett's own palace was none of Din's business. So he just nodded once, sharply, to show Fett that he'd understood and wouldn't go chasing Theron down in the halls or spilling Fett's secrets to the nearest paying customer, and picked up his cup again for want of something to do with his hands. Fett relaxed, He tilted his head to the side, considering something. His scrutiny made Din's palm sweat, made him feel like Fett could see right through Din's armor to his heart. Din resisted the urge to puff up like a spit adder. Fett steadied him for another handful of moments and then nodded to himself like he'd come to some sort of decision. "You're Boisha," Fett said, drumming his fingers over the matte green metal of his own helmet still resting at his elbow. "Can you take it off?" Din did puff up then, his back stiffening in instinctive alarm. He forced himself to lay his hands flat against the table, putting the cup down again so he didn't spill any of it and betray his own nerves. "My ally," he told himself firmly. "My ally, not my enemy." He forced himself to take a shallow breath and said, "Why?" "Because I want to ask you something," Fett said patiently. His dark eyes searched Din's visor. "And I'd prefer to see your face while I did it. If that's all right." Din's hands were frozen. His gaze flickered around the room, instinctively seeking an exit. "Door," he thought, but Fett's body was in the way. "Chute?" But the chute was too narrow, and Din didn't know where it led. His heart kicked in his chest. Fett was silent for a moment, watching Din force himself to stay very, very still. And then Fett sighed, and, to Din's utter mortification, he moved, shifting to stand well away from the door, opening a safe path back into the hallway. Din stared at him. Fett waited. Din was reminded of his own words to Jalto out in the desert. "I won't ask a third time." He swallowed. "It's fine," he told himself, pitting his will against whatever animal instinct kept his hands weighted down on the counter like stones. "It's fine. I can do it. I should do it. I should take it off and never put it back on again." He knew he wouldn't be able to manage that, but he could at least listen. Din brought his hands up and curled his fingers around the edges of his helmet. Fett had seen his face before. Fett was a Mandalorian who showed his own face to everyone and somehow found the strength to put his Beskar back on every time. He was Din's ally. Hands jerky, Din flicked the seals and pulled his helmet off. The air in this room was dry and cool. Din clutched his helmet and made himself look Fett in the eyes. He managed to hold Fett's gaze for a handful of heartbeats before he couldn't anymore and had to drop his eyes to Fett's chin, which felt safer to look at. Quieter, somehow, without any expectations. "Jate," said Fett, his voice so warm that Din couldn't help but look up and meet his eyes again before tearing his gaze away, this time settling on the scars around one of Fett's ears. "Jate," Din thought, committing the word to memory. He didn't have to speak Mandalorian to know that it was praise, and it curled through him like a cool wind, soothing some of his nerves. "You don't show your face often, huh?" Fett asked. Din shrugged a little. There was no point in denying it. Din knew how he looked. Tired, unkempt, made pale by all his time shielded from the sun. Fett had some color to him underneath the white patchwork of his scars, brown skin coaxed out by time out of his armor, but Din never took his helmet off unless he was completely alone, and even then, only to eat or hop in the sonic or shave or sleep. He wasn't exactly stepping out of his Beskar to lounge around in the sun. He could still count on one hand the number of times he'd taken his helmet off around others. Once on Morak, once for Grogu, twice in front of Kreese and her Talvode, and now once for Fett. Din's fingers tightened on his helmet. He made himself meet Fett's eyes again. Noise roared in his ears. "Well?" Din said. Fett blinked, as if the rough sound of Din's voice outside of his vocoder was surprising to him. "Well," Fett said, shaking his own head a little. He looked Din up and down, expression unreadable, then nodded to himself and said, "What's your relationship with pain?" Din blinked, startled. He said, "What?"
Fat cocked his head. "What's your relationship with pain?" he repeated. "Good? Bad? Want it? Don't want it? Does it distract you? Does it help you focus?" "Nobody wants," Din started, but then he stopped himself. That wasn't true. There were obviously some beings out there that did want pain. Fett's friend Theron had, according to Fett, sought him out just so Fett would hurt him. And Fett liked giving pain, knew that he liked giving pain. To know that about himself, Fett would have had to learn it somewhere. Din heard the sound of that whip cracking again, saw the bright red marks across Theron's back, and dug his fingers into his helmet so hard he felt the edges of it through his gloves. If Din had marks like that across his own back, he could roll his shoulders and snap to attention wherever he was, no matter what he was doing. The weight of his armor would remind him every time he took a step. Din's gaze drifted to Fett's arms, the solid strength in them. Din's mouth was dry, so he licked his lips. Din had always savored his bruises. Broken bones and deep cuts were something he always tried to heal, either with Bacta or with whatever tools he had on hand. But he kept his bruises as long as he could. He always had. As a foundling, they had been reminders, proof of his failure to stand on equal footing against the others. When he'd grown older, they had been proof that Din had made it, that he'd measured up, had earned his place, that he kept earning it every time he got up after taking a hit. Din's gaze settled on the bridge of Fett's nose, and Din thought about the deep bruise forming on his thigh. He thought about how much he liked it. Fett's eyes saw too much. Din looked away again. "Have you ever thought about it?" Fett asked quietly. He'd made the connection without Din needing to say anything further. Was Din really so obvious? He felt flayed open already, like all of his nerves were peeled back and on display. "About letting someone hurt you?" Din swallowed. "Letting someone, no." He couldn't even say it, not all the way. Sure, he'd purposefully stumbled during a spar a time or two, walked into a punch or kick that left him with deep, satisfying bruises. Sometimes he'd pushed himself hard enough during training that he carried the strain burning deep in his muscles for days. But he didn't go out of his way to get hurt. And the idea of asking someone to bruise him, or mark him, or even work him so hard that Din was left with lingering soreness was nauseating. "Why?" Din shook his head. He couldn't answer. Fett wasn't Din's tribe. He didn't understand what showing weakness, any weakness, meant for a hunter in the covert. If Din had gone around asking the other warriors to hit him, or had purposefully thrown fights in order to catch a beating, he would have lost his place as Baroja. The closest he'd ever gotten had been asking Paz to spar whenever Din had been in from a job. Paz fought hard, and even though he hadn't been able to win a fight against Din since they were kids, sparring with him had always left Din sore and limping for days afterwards, a fierce glow of pride kindling every time he stretched or a bit of his armor jostled a bruise. "Why not?" Fett prompted. "I shouldn't need it," Din said harshly. "The only things a warrior needs are his armor and his courage." Fett shrugged. "Those are important," he agreed. "But a warrior can't march on just courage, you know."
"Why are you asking?"
Din kept his gaze firmly on Fett's chin.
"You're Mandalorian," Fett said, oblivious to the way the word made Din's skin crawl. "A warrior. Warriors have an interesting relationship with pain. The good ones, anyways. Not just anyone can push themselves through training. Some warriors, they get through it because they have to, but others get through it because they like it. Pain helps them focus, helps them center themselves."
Din tensed.
"I think it might help you," Fett continued. He looked pointedly at Din's leg, like he could see the bruise forming there. "And I think that you want it, though it's hard to tell when you've got your armor on."
Din clutched his helmet and thought about slamming it back over his head.
He didn't, because he wasn't a panicked animal, no matter how much the conversation made him feel like one. But he thought about it. Din swallowed. "Just because I want something doesn't mean I need it," he said. He'd learned that early. Fett's eyes softened. "No," he agreed, "but that doesn't mean you shouldn't have it, either." Din snorted. This entire conversation felt like a trap, and Din was determined not to walk into it. "I've lived this long without it," Din challenged. I'm an effective warrior. I provide for the tribe. I haven't lost a bounty in years. I brought renown for the guild." "Yeah," Fett said, holding up a hand that silenced Din more effectively than a blow. "Not what I meant. I've seen you fight, Jaren. I know you're capable." He gestured at his knee, grimacing ruefully. "I'm gonna have a few bruises of my own when the sun's rise." Din subsided, feeling mutinous and like he'd lost the thread of the conversation, but that wasn't a rare feeling these days. He'd been out of his depth since he'd woken up on the light cruiser in a tank full of Bacta. "All I mean," Fett continued, "is that if you want more, if you want to see what pain could do for you, well..." Fett gestured at himself. "You're in a good place to try it out, is all." "With you?" Din said, before his brain could catch up with his mouth. Fett's expression went carefully neutral. "If you wanted. There's others around with similar proclivities. Few of the guards, some beings in Mos Eisley. Fennec, even, though she doesn't usually play with men. She likes you enough, she'd be willing to help out." Din made a face, then remembered that he wasn't wearing a helmet and stopped, heat rising in his cheeks. Fett chuckled. "Fennec's out, then." Din carefully studied the edge of one of Fett's cheekbones. He chewed his lip for a moment, thinking hard. His first, strongest instinct was to say "Kark, no," and close the door firmly on Fett's proposition. Din didn't need that kind of entanglement. He still needed to earn more of that Beskar. If Fett decided that Din was too weak, he wouldn't send Din out hunting anymore and the Beskar would be lost. "But he doesn't think that Theron is weak," Din reasoned. Fett thought Theron strong enough to guard the palace, even though Theron liked to be struck. If Din asked for the same thing, maybe Fett wouldn't consider that a weakness. "What would it... how would I know if I wanted it?" Din asked. He determinedly ignored the dull blush coloring his neck. "If it would help me." Fett shrugged. "I can't answer that for you," he said. "You just take it slow and stop if something was happening that you didn't like." "Stop it?" "Yeah, in an arrangement, either party, you or me, if you wanted to try with me, or you and whoever else you picked, can stop at any time." "Oh," said Din, understanding a little better. "It wasn't punishment at all, then." If a soldier was being disciplined for breaking orders, he couldn't stop the punishment whenever he wanted. But if Din tried something with Fett, and Din didn't like it, or, as he suspected would be the case, liked it too much, and got too close to revealing how weak he really was, Din could call it off. He relaxed a little bit at that. He couldn't help it. The jaws of the conversational trap he'd somehow walked into loosened, and Din's heartbeat slowed. Fett was still watching him. "How would I stop it?" Din asked. "There's a word, usually," Fett explained. "Gev, Rom, Lubid, something like that." "Gev," Din repeated, tasting the word. He knew that one. Trainers had yelled it on the fields to get the foundlings to stop whacking each other with sticks. Fett nodded. "It's that easy?"
"It's that easy," Fett agreed.
The jaws of the trap tightened again. Nothing was ever that easy, but Fett was sincere enough that Din couldn't help but believe him, just a little. He was curious, despite himself anyway, and there was still heat in his belly, sharp with longing. He couldn't stop thinking about the sounds Theron had made as Fett had struck him,
about the redness across his shoulders. Din's mouth dried out, the hairs on the back of his neck stood up. "Here," said Fett, reading the hungry curiosity in Din's bare face, stepping closer. "Remember your word? Gev to get me to stop, all right?" "All right," Din agreed, wary now. He made to stand, but Fett shook his head. He approached slowly, every movement clear and telegraphed, so that Din could push away or move back if he wanted. But this was a test of sorts, and Din was determined to measure up, to prove... "Well, I don't know," Din admitted to himself. But Fett wanted Din to prove something, and Din was determined to meet Fett's regard. So he didn't flinch back away or bolt like Fett clearly expected him to. Din held his ground and tilted his chin up, challenging. "Confident," Fett murmured, his voice low and rich. "I like that." Something indefinable shivered beneath Din's ribs. Fett was close enough to touch, close enough that Din could feel the heat of him, smell the warrior on him, the sweat and the Beskar, and faint strains of Tuscan incense, cedar and spice. Still moving deliberately, Fett took a hand and placed it on Din's thigh, fingers curling around the edges of the plate covering his thigh. Din froze. Fett smiled, his eyes bright, and pushed. Din snarled, pain erupting from a warm, dull ache into a white-hot agony, and tried to jerk away, but Fett was faster. His other hand came up to catch Din by the throat, fingers closing just under his jaw, and held fast. Din's entire universe narrowed down to those fingers around his throat. Even the roar of pain in his leg fell off abruptly. Din dropped his helmet and scrabbled at Fett's hand, seeking a weakness in his grip. But Fett tutted. "None of that now," he said firmly. Din stared at him. He could feel his own heartbeat thundering against Fett's fingertips. "Relax," Fett ordered. His tone had sharpened, brightened. "You can still breathe, yeah?" Din took a few shallow breaths to confirm. He could still breathe. It was harder, and every time he inhaled, he felt his throat work against Fett's hand, felt that grip like durasteel on either side of his jaw. But he could still breathe. "I need to hear you say it," Fett said. Everything about him was implacable. "Can you breathe?" "Yes," Din rasped. He stared up into Fett's eyes, shocked. This wasn't what Din had expected. Wasn't what he thought. "Sate," said Fett warmly. Din's eyes widened at the praise. Fett noticed. Of course he noticed. And his tone softened further, like a warrior approaching a frightened child. "Very good," he repeated. "I want you to let go of my hand, all right?" Both of Din's hands were still locked around Fett's, fingers digging into the leather of Fett's glove. Din blinked. He wasn't sure if he could make himself let go. "Grip the edge of the counter if you have to," Fett suggested. "But I need you to let go. I can make you if you need me to." "Make me," Din thought, dazed. His helmet had fallen, abandoned, on the ground. He swallowed, Fett's fingers digging into the soft skin underneath his jaw, and did as he was told. Din forced himself to let go of Fett's hand. He did grab the counter as Fett had suggested, digging in so hard his fingers creaked, but he did as Fett asked. "Good," Fett rumbled. Din's whole body softened at the warmth in his tone. "Very good. Don't let go." Even though his tone was soft, Din's body recognized his words as an order. Fett squeezed Din's throat very gently. "I need you to tell me you understand," he said. "Yes," Din said, the words sticking underneath Fett's gloved palm like a shard of glass. "Yes, I understand." This time, Fett's praise was nonverbal, a considering little sound that made Din understand that he was being tested again. "This is going to hurt," Fett said, and his eyes were bright as he said it. Fett loosened his grip on Din's throat just enough to let Din breathe easy. Then he took the hand that was still on Din's thigh, curled around the edges of his leg plate, and pushed. The pain bloomed and built. Din's kute protected him from the worst of the armor's edges, but not even the thick, stiff fabric could diffuse all of that pressure. Fett bore down with considerable strength, pushing the bruise deeper and deeper. Din made a thin sound, determined not to cry out. Fett's grip was Beskar. Din's own gloves creaked as he clung to the edge of the counter, like it was the only thing keeping him anchored in the world. It isn't, though, Din realized, in the small part of his brain that was still able to realize and rationalize things. The rest of his mind was fading, disappearing under the low, building roar of agony spreading up from his hip, licking his ribs, tangling into his spine. Din's hands held him fast to the counter, but Fett was the one anchoring Din to the side of the planet. Fett bore down, inexorable. If he pressed any harder, Din was sure the Beskar plate would punch through the material of his kute, through his skin, through his entire leg. Din made a muffled noise of pain behind his teeth and tried to jerk away, but the hand around his throat held him so fast, black spots danced in front of his eyes. "Easy," Fett soothed. Din resisted. The counter moaned. The hand at Din's throat was hot even through the leather, and Din abruptly wished that he could feel Fett's bare hand against his throat, touching skin no other being had touched in 30 years. "You're stubborn, you know that?" said Fett conversationally. Din hoped that Fett didn't expect Din to talk back, not anymore. If Din opened his mouth, he was going to start shouting, and he wouldn't give Fett the satisfaction. "Easy, Jerrica. You don't have to fight it so hard." Din jerked at the endearment, furious, and bared all of his teeth. Fett laughed. "Easy," he repeated. "Don't fight me so hard. Lean into it. Let it happen. It's not like you have any other choice, yeah? Unless you have something you want to say." His grip loosened enough that Din could speak and end it if he wanted to. The word was an easy one to say. "Gev, enough." Din tasted it against his teeth. But he could taste something else, too, on the other side of Fett's hand. Something sweet and dark, a relief. Din wanted it. He wanted it. So he swallowed the watchword and looked up at Fett, teeth still half-bared in pain. Fett smiled. "I think I can help," he said. Still keeping a solid grip on Din's throat, Fett let up on his leg. The release of pressure was almost worse. The weight vanished, and all of the muscles in Din's thigh throbbed in protest, a bone-deep bolt of agony that had him biting back a whine, fingers digging into the counter. Fett released the seal on the plate, detaching it from the wires in Din's kute. He set it aside with more care than Din had shown his helmet, which still lay askew on the floor, and put his hand back on Din's thigh. Din's mouth went dry with more than just fear and pain. "You're doing very well," Fett told him. Din tried not to sag in relief. He was doing well. He was meeting Fett's test, and he wasn't failing. Din swallowed. Using the heel of his hand, Fett started to press down on Din's bruised leg again. But this time, instead of uniform, terrible pressure, he used his heel to push down and then up, moving the pain around, pushing it deeper. Fett worked the tension out with unerring patience and skill. It wasn't comfortable. Din hurt too badly for that. But it felt good. Felt hard won, like the ache in Din's shoulders after a hard workout or a good spar. Din's lips parted. "There you are," said Fett. "That's it. Just lean into it." His hand pushed the pain through Din like the wind carving a dune. Steady, inexorable, and all around, from the top of Din's knee to the base of his hip, working even through the thick layer of his kute. The red haze in Din's mind softened and spread. It seeped into his spine and the base of his skull. It drowned out the hammering of his heart and the ringing in his ears. Fett said something else, a deep rumble, but Din didn't hear it. His eyelids flickered. He was aware of a few points of contact, his own fingers wrapped around the counter, Fett's glove underneath his jaw, the unbelievable ache in his entire right leg. But finer details slid through his awareness like sand. Eventually, the hand on his throat loosened. Without that point of contact anchoring him, Din swayed dangerously, a bubble of confusion rising from the haze of his thoughts. But before Din could do more than examine the confusion, or do anything embarrassing like slide off his stool, there was a hand in his hair and cool metal against his face, Fett's deep voice rumbling against his cheek. "Well," said Fett, as the haze over Din began to recede. "You still with me, Jerrica?" "Mph," mumbled Din. Fett had tucked in firmly against his own chest. His Beskar was cool. "You mind if I touch you?" Fett asked, the hand in Din's hair moving gently, skimming the top of Din's head. Din barely felt it, still wrapped up in the deep heartbeat of pain echoing up and down his spine. "You've already touched me," Din mumbled. He knew, dimly, that he ought to pull away and sit back, sit up, present himself like a warrior. But he was having a hard time convincing his body to cooperate. He was still clutching the edge of the counter with both hands. Fett's laugh rumbled through Din's chest. "Fair enough," Fett said. He skimmed a hand over Din's head, fingers catching lightly on knots and tangles. Then he used the other hand to coax Din's fingers out of their locked position. Fett soothed Din's cramped hands and worked a few tangles out of his hair. Din tolerated the touch. He felt bare, sanded down, like Fett had somehow, with just his hands, blunted some of the edges inside Din that Din had been cutting himself open on since the fight on the light cruiser. It was nice. Din tolerated Fett's touch for another few minutes. Then he stirred, peeling his face off Fett's chest. "Sorry," he said thickly. His tongue was heavy, his throat raw. Fett hadn't ever choked him, hadn't squeezed hard enough to drive Din's breath away, but Din could still feel the weight of Fett's hand there. "I can go. We can talk later." Fett snorted, amused. Din didn't really have the best angle to see his face from their current position, but Fett didn't move away. "I'm good," he said. "There's no rush, Jaren." "But you..." Din started, but Fett didn't let him finish. Fett used the hand still in Din's hair to tug Din forward again, gently but firmly, soothing Din back down against his chest. His Beskar was cool against Din's cheek. "Nah," said Fett, propping himself up against the counter. "I'm good. I don't have anywhere I need to be, so if you need more time, take it. We can talk when you're ready. Whatever you want." Din wanted a sonic. He wanted to close a door somewhere and peel out of his armor, wanted to examine the marks Fett had left on his body. He wanted to eat and drink Tihar and sit and think about what he'd just done, about what he'd let Fett do. Despite all of that, Din leaned back into Fett's chest and closed his eyes. Fett's hand kept moving through his hair, gentle as the breeze.